till midnight. This is Perth Tonight with Chris Ilsley.
Must apologise to my Year 10 maths teacher. His name was Mr. Rostenberg. We were doing statistics one day and I said, what are we going to need this rubbish for? Why do we have to do this? And he said to me, I'm paraphrasing here, shut up, you idiot. Pay attention because you will need it. I'm so glad I did pay attention. I'm so glad he made me pay attention because just about everything we see nowadays is based on data, statistics and all sorts of other surveys. There was the IVS. No, you don't have to go to RPH for treatment on that one. We are talking about International Visitors Survey. The data released shows international visitors to West Australia grew by about 6.8%, but that was somewhat behind the national growth rate of 7.8%. So in other words, we're doing better, but we're not doing as well as we could do relative to the other states. We're joined on the program by the Australian Hotel Association of WA CEO, Bradley Woods. Hi, Bradley.
Hi, Chris.
Now, I noticed that you said this was good news for West Australia because people were coming here for holidays. Is it as good a news as it appears when you say, yeah, okay, we've gone up by 6.8%, but the eastern states have gone up by 7.8%?
Yeah, well, that's the point, I think, is that it is good to see that our overall international visitation has gone up by that 6.8% from 12 months ago. It is disappointing, though, that we haven't gone up to the same degree as the rest of Australia. And I think that is the key point that we are continuously making, is that Western Australia is treated as the second-class cousin in the context of tourism marketing. And our tourism budget that's spent by the state government doesn't compare favourably when we compare it to other states and territories. What that results in is we're not getting as much of the pie to share the wealth around with the many tens and tens of thousands of West Australians that benefit from the tourism industry, whether they be in food or beverage or transport or accommodation or service sectors or tradespeople. And what we're saying is that we need to see a substantial increase in advertising and marketing of Western Australia to compete more effectively with the East Coast so that we get a greater share of international visitors.
Is this about money individual state governments are prepared to spend on tourism, or is this about the collective national tourism dollar?
There's two things here. One is the way in which the collective national tourism dollar, that is the expenditure of tourism Australia overseas, is spent, and what is marketed and what is promoted. Too often, more than not, we are seeing East Coast images and we're seeing the highlights being Sydney, Melbourne, Gold Coast, sometimes Ayers Rock, and very rarely do we see Perth and Margaret River or Western Australia promoted. Our argument is that there is just as much opportunity to fly into Australia via the West Coast, particularly now that we've seen a substantial increase in airlines coming through the Middle East, through China and Asia. It's so much easier now to come from the US into Australia via the East Coast of the US with those hubs through the Middle East. And Tourism Australia needs to pick its game up in terms of the context of giving WA its fair share as well. And the case in point here would be Chinese visitation. Chinese visitors into Australia continue to grow, but Western Australia is only getting 4.9% of the total of Chinese visitors coming into the state. So that means 95% of all Chinese tourists coming to Australia are not coming to the West.
I kind of wonder how the whole national body is going to work, because when you look at the combined eastern states, just look at the eastern seaboard, Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, they will always argue that they've got more people and there's more for people to do over that side of the country. So you almost have competing interests. Would we be a lot better off forgetting about the national body, coming up with a body of our own here in West Australia, funding it ourselves, and forgetting about the national promotions? Because clearly it just seems to be a classic example of we're never going to get considered when eastern states are involved.
Well, your point's right. We already have that state-based body that could be doing a lot better in terms of our international marketing if it had the money, and that's Tourism Western Australia. It's charged with both interstate marketing and international marketing, but it's hamstrung by two factors. One is the dollars that it has to spend in direct advertising in international markets, because Treasury and the West Australian government haven't been allocating enough to the actual marketing budgets. And secondly, is it spending its funding and resources the most efficiently as well? And those are two constant questions that I think need to be asked simultaneously. So if we're going to ask for more money, we've got to ensure that the agency that's charged with spending it is also spending it the most effectively to get the biggest bang for the buck, to give Western Australia those opportunities to make the most out of what is an improvement in our tourism visitation, particularly with the Australian dollar dropping. So it can be done. It can be done through Tourism Western Australia. But the other side of it, Chris, is that the Australian government does have a responsibility and role for marketing all of Australia. And I think it needs to be a two-tier approach. There needs to be campaigns that are separate to the East Coast that specifically provide WA with its own exposure and its own opportunities, because it is unique and it is a totally different hemisphere in the context of how people will come to Australia.
Absolutely agree with you 100%. How do we do it successfully? Reason being, once again, we get down to the whole population thing, the East Coast, like Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. I'll lump those three in together once again. They say, we've got the greater population. Obviously, politicians look at it and go, gee, there are more votes in those states. So once again, are we not just simply behind the eight ball because we are here in West Australia and there are less of us?
No, look, I spend a fair bit of time in Canberra each year engaging with federal members of parliament, reminding them, all sides of parliament, reminding them about Western Australia's significance and the significance of the tourism and hospitality sector, but also reminding them of what the economy brings to the country as well. You can't ignore the fact that there are nearly 20 West Australian federal MPs in the federal parliament. Collectively, they do have the ability to swing and influence vote, particularly if those seats change. And this is the key, is that every seat in Western Australia is subject to swings and changes at every federal election. Parties that understand the value of the tourism sector, understand the value of its broader spectrum into the economy, particularly with the mining and resources sector starting to flatten, obviously flattening now in the context of where it was 3 years ago, tourism has the greatest capacity to pick up and engage business activity, particularly to employ people very, very quickly. It only takes a couple of extra plane loads of visitors to come into the state. And we need to employ, hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, to work in hotels and restaurants and bars and tourism facilities very quickly. And that pickup and that turnaround can take a matter of a week, Chris. It's that fast in terms of stimulating the tourism economy.
So it's something that happens very rapidly. Now, can I just ask another question? Maybe it's a little bit of the elephant in the room that nobody really likes to talk about. Putting aside some of the political issues, are some of the other factors also that West Australia is quite expensive and therefore might not be attractive to tourists from that point of view?
Look, there's a bit of a, I suppose, we do hear that from time to time, but when you look at all the real data, and that is what is the average cost of visitation, the average room rates, the average cost of food and beverage, there are some experiences that you'll get on the East Coast and some areas and towns or areas of, say, Sydney, that you will pay more and some that you'll pay less. So comparatively within Australia, we've never seen any real data that suggests that tourists are not coming here because we're perceived to be more expensive or we are more expensive. I think as West Australians and people living in our own state, we probably tend to be more sensitive to that than anyone else. But in terms of questions that are qualitative questions asked of tourists, it's not something that ever rates to any degree that is of concern, that people are saying they're not coming here because it's too expensive. I think the first thing is they've got to know we exist. They've got to know that we are here. And so many times I've been in these forums where international tourists have been interviewed or questioned, and it's just a lack of awareness. They're just not aware of what Perth or WA or Margaret or Broome have to offer, because we can't always get that message through so effectively. So whether it's an independent traveller booking online themselves through a website or whether they're going through a travel agent, there's so many different ways we've got to get that message much more penetratively through to the international tourism visitor.
Do you think politicians actually get it? And let's forget about federal politicians for a moment. Let's just look at the state. Do they get it? Do they get the importance of tourism? Do they also get the fact that you're competing with just about every other venue in the world for the tourist dollar, so therefore we have to make ourselves stand out somehow?
Well, I'll be controversial here and say that the far more intelligent ones and the far more the ones that are far more astute and attuned to the West Australian economy get it. They understand the nature of the tourism sector and how it penetrates every element of the economy, whether it's the farmers that benefit because more food and produce is consumed, through to the wineries, through to the chippies and the electricians that are working and building new hotels, through to the food and beverage staff or the taxi drivers or the bus drivers that are servicing tourists. through to the tour operators and the guides. There's a whole range of many, many different sectors that benefit. You know, the fish tackle supply companies, everyone in that stream benefits, and there's a whole range of ways that penetrates out into country and urban and regional and city-based electorates. And I think for members of Parliament, we spend a bit of time trying to educate them, to get them to understand the nature of tourism, get them to understand the importance and the critical reasons why we have to promote WA more effectively, because we're competing against other international destinations and East Coast destinations that have got far more resources to do it because their governments are smart in allocating those funds. We have to be clever in the way in which we promote and bring attractions within to Western Australia for visitors.
Makes a lot of sense. This is an area that we are going to visit some more of that, I'm absolutely sure. Bradley Woods, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good night.